Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
No, God, where's the time gone? Mike, God.
Do you want to do a quick flip side? I've got a couple things to play.
I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready to believe you. Colonoscopy. Oh, man, we never got the most common sex injuries. We'll have to do that next week.
Next time.
Can't do that on the regular show.
Mike, no, we're going to do the flipper. And I want to thank, I think his listener was, it might be Joe McLeod.
He sent me this, he said,
go to this episode of the Brady Bunch and you can find this tape.
Well, how about the flip side?
That's David Jones from the Monkees talking about the flip
That's
side.
That's wonderful. What a wonderful gift he gave to you. The gift that keeps on giving.
The gift of the Monkees, your least favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, little girl can't say the word quesadilla. But she loves quesadillas because her brother likes quesadillas.
Trivia question for you.
Yeah.
What is the funniest, in movie history, what is the funniest mispronunciation of quesadilla?
I believe the film turns 20 years this year. It's Napoleon Dynamite, quesadilla.
Isn't that amazing? Quesadilla. Make yourself a quesadilla.
Can you believe quesadilla.
Can you believe that movie is 20 years old now?
No, and also never has a movie been made that the first two times you watch it are no good, and then it gets better and better and
cult
better.
Cult classic. That's
to
why they're cult.
To this day, I can drop it in and laugh
Tina,
at anything.
Eat the food. Just weird.
Mike,
weird,
this little girl times. Is talking about her quesadilla.
What's that called that you're eating?
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla?
Nathan always has quesadilla, so I'm happy.
What do you call it?
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Case of idea.
I love kids.
I do too.
Are sweet.
I wonder if kids will be watching Billy Joel tonight, because tonight they're going to roll the Billy Joel special on the Columbia Broadcasting System, the Tiffany Network, and they're not going to interrupt Piano Man. Here's what's great is they effed up everybody in the Eastern and Central time zones by cutting it off. Sunday night, they'd been promoting it for weeks. They screw up and they turn it in to this promo.
CBS Friday. A special encore presentation of the epic concert, 10 years in the making.
It was screwed up.
Billy Joel's 100th sold-out show at his historic Madison Square Garden residency. By popular demand, a second chance to see a legend make history. Billy Joel. The 100th live at Madison Square
Thanks,
Garden.
CBS.
Friday on CBS.
Yeah, Friday
and streaming
CBS.
On Paramount Plus.
And remember, that's 2 hours of primetime programming that they've already paid for that they're going to dip in for spots again.
Speaking of Madison Square Garden, I have a fun, nostalgic music story that I think you might enjoy that I read yesterday. You know the producer Jerry Weintraub, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen him in Ocean's 11 with George Clooney.
He was a legendary
slicky boy, Hollywood slicky boy, and producer. And in 1974, I think, in 1974, he produced a live Madison Square Garden concert for Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
And he tells these stories about Frank. And Frank being Frank, which meant he didn't really want to do it. And then he said, Frank, we'll do it. We'll call it the main event. It'll just be like a boxing match where we're going to put a ring there in the center of the arena and you'll come in. Anyway, he sold it to Frank. And Frank says, yes, he'll go ahead and he'll do it. So there are something like 350 techs that are working on this live broadcast. You get Howard Cosell coming in, all these celebrities coming into the arena. But Frank is being Frank, and Frank is not rehearsing, and Frank is not showing up for sound checks. Frank is at his hotel, and Frank is being Frank. So the moment comes where I believe it's an assistant of Frank Sinatra drops by and gives Jerry Weintraub the set list. And he looks at the set list, and he notices that there's no Lady and the Tramp. There's no My Way. There's no, there are none of the classic
monster hits
that they have to have. This is going to be going worldwide television, an absolutely incredible show. You have to have that. And I mean, there are obscure songs in there. He doesn't know. Jerry Weintraub immediately says, I got to get over there. I got to get to his hotel. He goes over and he knocks on the door. They let him in. And Frank is at the table in his bathrobe reading a newspaper. And he walks over and he said, Frank, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, Jerry? And he says, listen, I it's about this set list. He said, I know. That's not my set list. This is the only way I figured I could get you over here. And he hands him the set list of all the things like My Way and all that stuff. And that was, and the rest is history. And it's
can you imagine
story.
When he got Frank to say yes? I bet there was a small part of him that when he finally said yes, he's like, oh, shit, now we got to do this.
And then Jerry Weintraub is being... Sinatra seeing him at the arena and say, hey, you look like hell. You look bad. You look white. You look pale. Well, I'm so nervous. And then I think right before he goes on, he gives him the little pinch on the cheek.
Yeah.
And he said, don't worry, Jerry. You got us into this. I'll get you out of it. Frank Sinatra. Isn't that a great story?
That is great.
Frank, baby. Frank Sinatra at the main event, Madison Square Garden. Fantastic.
Probably his last great concert capture.
Absolutely.
Mean, it's a great album. Highly
Absolutely.
Recommended. Mm-hmm. Mike, sad while we're talking music. This one shouldn't have surprised me, but took me off guard. Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers passed
what
away.
What a talent.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really the heartbeat of the Allman Brothers Band. Really the best. Absolutely.
Saw him play live. Yeah, well, Mike, that's that song called Jessica. And I saw him play it live. And this won a Grammy after the fact. I believe it was another performance that Dickie Betts. But this song is so perfect. And the album Brothers and Sisters that
I mean,
this comes from is beautiful.
A prodigy. And, yeah. I think he might have done, you know, like all the Allman Brothers band
members. Well, I mean,
did a lot of partying
is,
in the heyday.
Here we go. This is him being introduced by the great Bill Graham.
On guitar and vocals, Mr. Richard Betts.
Ooh, such a fan.
And
I'm
his lead vocal.
Yeah.
Trying to make a living.
Oh, I forgot that he was the lead vocal on Ramblin' Man, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Duane Allman. It was Dickie Betts.
Yeah. Just an amazing organization. And that's one. When you were playing classic rock, I bet you never got tired of the Allman Brothers. Maybe Ramblin' Man, but not the rest of them.
I tell you that the Allman Brothers Band, there are, and when you work, man, when you work at a classic rock radio station that's got a 300-song playlist,
yes,
I'm telling you, that is repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yep.
And there was something about certain artists that I just wouldn't get burned on it. And I don't get burned on that. And I'm trying to think of... They're deep cuts with the Allman Brothers, and I'm trying to think of one that I love, and it's escaping
Melissa,
me right now.
I love
Sweet
Southbound.
Melissa is Southbound. South, thank you, Rob Spiewak. Great brain. That's the one. Well, I'm Southbound, and that's a rhythm. What
it's
I loved
a screaming
about
it's guitar record. It
it's
is
a
so
great
good.
Guitar record, and it's got a rhythm guitar track that just. Slays the dragon.
Yeah.
I love the Allman Brothers. Safe home to Dickie Betts. Absolutely.
One thing that Paul McCartney once said when they were breaking down the records on that special McCartney 1-2-3, he talked about some of their early rhythm tracks, and he said, listen to John. John would get tired playing that intense rhythm guitar because it was, as he says, it was relentless.
Yeah,
and when
absolutely.
You hear great rhythm guitar, that's a skill that does not come easy.
Yeah,
so,
safe travels to Dickie Betts. What a legend.
Yeah,
amazing
love,
legend.
Love, love him. Let's close with the very ebullient Harrison Ford.
Mr. President.
Mike, he's getting worse and worse, and I wish it wasn't happening because... I was a Star Wars baby. I saw Raiders so many times in the theater, and I just love Harrison Ford. Here he is at the Jimmy Buffett tribute concert that happened this week, talking about having lunch with Jimmy Buffett and Ed Bradley from CBS. Remember, Ed Bradley used to be on 60 Minutes.
Who's the square peg at that tribute concert? Hi, Harrison.
Ed Bradley was on 60 Minutes before it got canceled, and he's talking about what caused him to get his ear pierced. I'm sorry. Here is on stage Harrison Ford.
Jimmy Buffett was a cool guy.
Okay.
I remember one day, some might say boozy lunch with Jimmy and Ed Bradley. It was Bradley's birthday. I saw both of them had earrings. So right after lunch, I got my ear pierced.
Great. There, that's why he was there. I'm good with that.
Infectious Jimmy's coolness. Infectious enough for a 40-year-old man to spontaneously get his years.
You know, that's a good story, but I have a feeling that the audience felt like I did the last time I saw Tony Bennett, which is please don't let him die. Not on this show.
That's a great story.
That's
though.
All I got for you, Mike.
Oh, great job. That's fantastic.
TMOS Classic.
And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do. And I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it. And so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this, until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. You've been, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
Lovely woman.
I use Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these. Oh, I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on the bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the book, the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female
reader.
Can't
read this. Where do you live?
Well, I have an apartment in New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like those.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. And you, these guys, these landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years. Now, in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Yeah, I'm right. Are we back? Never gone anywhere. We start now. I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, "Here's Larry"? Did you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back. So we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. And this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. Last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like that.
Agents. If you heard, whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
TMOS Classic.
Any of his friends follow Taylor Swift? Are they of
Swifties?
That age?
Swifties?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I know she's popular, and I know with Travis Kelce, and I know that
she crosses lines and stuff, right?
Here it is. I feel about Taylor Swift that I get the hype, I understand it, but I place her into the category of pure pop. Pop like the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Pop
exactly.
like
well
New Edition or NSYNC. Mm-hmm. Pop like that. I don't put her in the category of certain artists that that I would be, I would put into the more hip category, right? But
right.
Everything you read about her is that she is such a good person and mm-hmm. she's such a positive influence on a lot of these little girls that that love Taylor Swift. You, I know, have done a little bit more of a musical dive on her, right?
Yeah, well, you know, last night, overnight, her new album dropped. It's called the Tortured
Dead Poets Society.
Tortured Poets Department.
Tortured Poets Department. All right, which is talking about her life as a songwriter, correct?
Right. And, Mike, I've actually got, this is pretty cool. I dug around on the dark web and I found some cuts that dropped in advance, so we can do a preview
time.
Of the
album.
Are we
going to get in trouble if we play this?
We'll see. I mean, we can okay. always take the podcast down. This is right. the first single from the new Taylor Swift.
Okay. Woo!
Red Solo Cup.
No. No, it's too soon.
Let's have
too soon. That's the late Toby Keith.
Mike, all right.
Rob.
That was a joke. That's not okay. really on the
No,
album.
It wasn't.
Mike, this is track one, side two. Okay. I buy vinyl, and so right. you know you want to make it. This is the
Let's
first
listen.
One, side two.
He comes.
Boogity, boogity.
There he goes.
Boogity, boogity.
Rob.
And
what?
He ain't wearing no clothes.
That's Ray Stevens.
Are you sure?
Rob, a much more significant Ray Stevens fan than I am.
Okay, you know, I'm just being silly.
I never liked that.
Just like same reason I don't like Larry the Cable Guy. I don't.
Like, okay.
I don't like that. I think it's cheap, don't you? I think it's lazy.
Too. I do, too.
Now, but that's why. That. After, there we go, like that. You can get that, you know. I mean,
do it more subtle.
A key element on any LP is the last song on side one. That's how you
that.
Want to, yeah, because that's how you want to leave people in the mindset of the record when you flip it. And this is the last song on side one of the new Taylor Swift Tortured Poets Department.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, Mr. Please.
Obviously an
Dickie
homage
Goodman.
To other artists, yes.
What did you think when you took that first...
You know, we had a little trip down memory lane. You love nostalgia.
Yes.
Dickie Goodman... During the 1970s, primarily, I think, right?
Well, he got his start, believe it or not, in the 50s. He
in
did
the
those cut-in records for like 30 or 40 years.
But I remember him from the 70s.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they played on... And when the movie Jaws came out,
yes.
Probably his biggest hit ever
Absolutely.
Was Mr. Jaws.
I believe it was a top 10 hit, which
Mr.
speaks
Jaws.
So badly
Can
of
you
America.
Articulate for the listeners that might not know what we're talking about
sure.
what a Dickie Goodman record would
it's
be?
It's called technically a cut-in record, usually okay. done in the form of an interview. And, for example, take the James Brown classic record, I Got You, I Feel Good, which starts mm-hmm. with him going, wow, I feel good.
Right.
It would be Dickie Goodman saying, give me a world event of today. Anything.
Donald Trump trial.
All right. Attention, Americans. I'm here at the Donald Trump trial, and the president looks very optimistic. Mr. President, how do you feel? Wow! I feel good. And then, yeah. because of fair use, he can use two-second clips of it. And they lack creativity to... an amazing extent.
But he made a lot of money. A
lot of money, yeah.
Because people love that. And that was followed, I really think it was followed by the disco mashups where you would have multiple songs like Hooked on Classics.
Hooked on Classics, Hooked on Swing. And then also, Mike, don't forget the medley craze of the late 70s where there was like a Stars on 45
yeah.
and the okay. Beach Boys medley.
Same kind of thing
yeah.
as the Hooked on Classics.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Okay, I get it.
But in all seriousness, I did want to play you the real Taylor Swift song because okay. we do have it here.
Your vocal?
It's an instrumental.
She doesn't have instrumentals.
What's that?
She doesn't have instrumentals, Rob.
Well, then, Mike, I don't know what that... Oh, wait a second. This is what I wanted to play for you.
All right.
This is actually called the Tortured Poets Department. And this did drop last night. I think it's got a great sound.
You left your typewriter at my apartment, straight from the tortured poet.
Is it about John Mayer?
Probably.
How long can we play it? We can play it as long as we want, right?
But do you really want to hear it much more?
I think I like her voice. I like she's
I
got a
too.
Nice raspy, sexy sound to her voice. I like that. I mean, that lady is delivering the goods.
She truly is, and I'll tell you this about
all right,
it.
You can turn it off now. It's too.
She actually, she does the rocker songs. That song, "Shake It Up" or "Shake It Off," forgive me.
Yeah.
She did. That's
mm-hmm.
a good one too. I mean, she's just
sexy
a great
album
artist.
Cover too. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what's going on. And I did want to just say, Mike. That last song I played, I've been looking for a clean instrumental cut of this since high school, and I found it yesterday. It's called Wild Clown Number One. So. It was featured in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Very exciting.
Anyway, so as an audio nerd, I just wanted to call attention.
What's
to that.
The one, not hippopotamus, but... There was like the voice is for you know all those novelty records.
Yeah,
you
yeah, but what, the, but what is it? I mean, I need more than
it's
that.
It's like it's got Brooklyn, you know, foist and doiste. I have no idea. I'm rambling. I'm rambling because it's late in the weekend. I'm not sure. But it,
hey, Oz, I want you to meet somebody that you've never met before. It's called Friday Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi. How you doing, Oz?
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.